Holy wit!
Pardon me, what did you just say?
Holy Wit, a podcast for warriors in training.
So here we are, sitting on one of the last sunny days of the season, outside without a sweater, and I'm sitting here with my good friend Val Hopman. It always throws me off when I see on Facebook it says Valerie. I'm like, who's Valerie?
Yeah.
It's Val. And we're just sitting here chatting and talking about the world today, 2020. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it's already September 2020. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, as we're talking, I'm curious, what is the growing struggle that you see throughout your travels that people are struggling with?
Yeah, you know, I would say one of the huge things that is so common, almost becoming epidemic, really, is that in our society and in our culture is anxiety. Anxiety is something that it almost seems to be how people now are identifying, and it's just becoming part of a person when they describe the thing that they struggle with. It's anxiety. And I find this so interesting because it never was. I don't think in generations past, it maybe even would have been an embarrassing thing for people to say, I'm having an anxiety problem. It would have been more hush-hush.
They would have just told you to suck it up and deal with it.
Right, yeah. And I think that anxiety was caused from a crisis or a trauma. And so then that's when anxiety was allowed. But now what I'm seeing is that people have anxiety and it actually hasn't been caused from a trauma or a major crisis. It's just becoming a life style almost of having anxiety. It's not that anybody wants it. Nobody is using it, thinking that this is a good way to live. But it is something that is plaguing and tormenting people, is anxiety. I think when I hear that now, I often, always want to uncover the root, and most people don't know the root. They just think that this is the way that they're made, that this is the way their mom was, and it's become so accepted in society.
Well, they're being taught how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. They're being taught how to manage their anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
not being taught that they don't have to live without anxiety.
Mm. Right. It's a word that's commonly thrown around. It's almost expected. I'm seeing among students and young adults, the word has been so commonly used in their education, in circles that they're at. And you're right, they're being taught, well, when you have anxiety, how are you managing it? Let's uncover it. Let's unpack it. Let's unveil these things of how to manage it, but not actually how to fix it, solve it, or not live without it. And so that's a difference. That's a huge difference than way maybe in our generation. The older generations just never came across that the same.
Mm-hmm. So instead of looking at it and saying, there's got to be a way out,
mm-hmm.
we're really receiving counsel on how to remain in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's not impacting. It's mm-hmm. not having. Living with anxiety is teaching us a certain kind of mindset that's mm-hmm. quite destructive.
Mm-hmm. And I would say that as soon as a fear comes along, which we have, whether we're afraid of the birds in the park or we're afraid that there might not be toilet paper in the stores, right? That as soon as a fear comes, we right away give it, it leads right into anxiety. And so anxiety now becomes the way that we're managing our fear, actually. Anxiety is giving a voice to our fear. It's enabling us. That's how we're processing fear and dealing with the fear, the root of fear, I would say. I heard, my son the other day, he was using the term. He's like, oh, Mom, he's like, yeah, just even the thought of, going up that hill gives me anxiety. I'm like, why are you using that word, anxiety? But because it has been so part of our language now. And rather than just being like, oh, that scares me,
right.
He's using the term anxiety.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to speak against it and to say, that's nothing. When I mm-hmm. was growing up, my mm-hmm. kids hate it when I When I was growing up, we had thicker skin.
Yeah.
We knew how to, or not that we knew how to deal with it. We learned how to deal with it. But you're right. Today, it seems to be loose. It's a loose word to describe emotionally challenging situations.
Right. And the thing is our life is going to be full of challenges. It's full of uncomfortable moments, full of awkward moments. And for whatever reason, we have it in our minds, in our culture, that life shouldn't have these things all day long. And so when things don't go as planned, it's not exactly the way our expectations have, it almost seems like we're not sure how to handle it, which is then throwing us into this anxiety, which then leads to depression.
Right.
And it begins to continue this effect of more and more things.
The cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So when I look at it and I talk with people, I often will ask them, they'll say, I struggle with anxiety. I have very high anxiety. So I'll ask them, well, what are you doing to deal with your anxiety? And it's very interesting to hear answers. I mean, you have the, you know, alcohol, drugs that often will numb pain, numb the emotions so that they can get it under control temporarily. There's sex, of course, or just getting, you know, if they can, even just if it's not a sexual relationship, just a relationship in general, if I can just be with my boyfriend, if I can just be around people, that will help me. Sometimes people give them anxiety. If I can just not be around people then and be alone, then I can deal with the anxiety. It can lead into all sorts of things, whether it's a, you know, if I they start to have that addiction of buying things, even just buying things online, it makes them feel better. It gives them that temporary relief. Then there's the food addictions. If I can just eat something that will give me that calmness, whatever it is, and it becomes into all these different addictions that is really managing that anxiety. It's distracting from the anxiety.
It's mindless activity.
Yes.
Is what it is.
Yes.
Because then when you actually have to apply your mind to something, there's that anxiety.
Yes. Yeah. And so what do we hear people say? I need to get outside my head. I need to get outside my head. So they'll binge watch Netflix, right? And they're like, I just need to do something mindless to shut my mind off. People are falling asleep with the TV on, right? Just to, because they're like, as soon as I turn that TV off, I can't sleep for hours. I just, things go round and round my head.
My thoughts are too loud.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And it's very, very common for people to say, I'm hearing just constant negative thoughts in my head. Negative voices that are just going around, whether, you know, and sometimes even when I ask a question, well, how often would you say this is, you know, it might be surprising to hear that, you know, they'll say anywhere from 30 to 80 times a day. And this is all contributing to their anxiety because this is what they're listening to and they don't know if it's their voice or whose voice it is anymore. Mm-hmm. So this is a huge problem in our society, and it's really what it's doing is it's paralyzing us.
And paralyzing us so much that even counselors that were to go to, Christian and secular counselors, cannot bring up God, cannot bring up, you know, other strategies such as prayer and taking your thoughts captive.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is a person to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think we as Christians, as believers, we have to go, God has known it all along and he's already given us instruction on what to do. So whenever I talk with somebody who has anxiety, I think the questions that you need to ask yourself is, how am I going to problem solve this, Lord, how to solve it. How do you want to problem solve? Rather than going, I can't handle this. This is, I just need to, you know, I can't do it. It's, okay, how am I going to problem solve it? And then to look at different scriptures, you know, he's very specific in scripture. Mm-hmm. I love Philippians 4, verse 6. He's just like straight out, do not be anxious about anything.
Don't do it.
And you're like, well, gee, thanks. I'll just do that, decide, right? But he's just saying don't. He's not saying, I know you're going to be anxious about some things, let's work on some management techniques. No, he's saying just do not. And he's telling us that is so unhealthy for us. It's very clear and very strong wording here. And then he goes on to say, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And so he is giving us now the house, some tools here. That's really important. And we have to unpack this, because sometimes we hear it's just all jumbled in our mind. We're like, yeah, we should pray about it.
Yeah,
you know?
Right away.
Yes. But he's being very specific. He's saying, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Thanksgiving is very powerful in that thanksgiving produces joy. If you ask somebody who has anxiety issues, what would their end goal be? What do they want? They say that they want to be happy. They just want to be happy. Happiness depends on circumstances. So that's a very unrealistic thing that we're asking for in our society, to just be happy in our life. Is that what we should, our goal should be, is to be happy in our life?
There's nowhere in the Bible that says
mm-hmm.
that happiness is a goal.
Right.
That this is how we are to live.
Mm-hmm.
It says when troubles come,
mm-hmm.
how are we going to, it's how we face them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just to add on to that, you know, Buddhism and very popular counseling techniques and things is to, you know, don't think about the negative. Clear your mind, empty it, you know. And that is not what Scripture says. Instead, Scripture says, think deeply about these things.
Yes.
Consider sin. Consider death. Consider that your life is short. Think about these things, because it's going to impact how you live your life. So we're not to run away from these things. We're not to just sort of push them off aside and just try not to think of them. And that's going to bring us peace, or that's going to bring us joy. It's not. What brings us joy is gratitude. It's thanksgiving. That's what Scripture tells us in various verses. So that's why he's telling us thanksgiving, present your request to God, because that joy is then produced. We know that when somebody is thankful and has gratitude, it actually produces chemicals in our brain to bring that.
Your dopamine is released, all
mm-hmm.
these happy hormones.
Mm-hmm.
What
and
we
contentment.
Call happy
yes.
Hormones.
Yes. Yeah. So we know that there's a chemical change. It's a mental, affects us mentally. It affects us spiritually, because it takes our eyes off of our situation and turns them on to the larger scope of what God's perspective is. He also tells us that prayer and petition. Mm-hmm. So when we go in prayer, how are we going in prayer? Are we just going, God, fix everything for me. Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Which at times we might need to.
We need to call out and ask him
yeah.
for his help at times.
Right. And then are we going deeper into prayer and going, God, why do I have this anxious feeling? I bring it to you. I take it captive and I'm going to make it obedient to Christ. We're not pleading with it to be obedient to Christ. We're going to make it. So it has to bow to our will, to what we know is true. And if it is not in alignment with Scripture, that fear or that anxious thought of what we're believing, then it's a lie. And so then we need to reveal what the truth is. And the truth is what's going to set us free from that anxious thought. So that is a very, very powerful thing that we need to be doing in prayer, in our conversation with the Lord, and hearing, listening to him, hearing what he has to say, leaning on the Holy Spirit to give us that revelation of what is the lie and truth that we're believing.
So it comes down to taking those thoughts captive. And when we're in the midst of anxiety, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
How do you counsel somebody who's in the midst of the rat wheel
mm-hmm.
of anxiety
mm-hmm.
to be thankful, just as you were reading in Philippians, do not be anxious for anything,
mm-hmm.
but in everything through thanksgiving,
prayer and petition.
Prayer and
mm-hmm.
petition, present your request to the Lord. But it's that thanksgiving piece that's
mm-hmm.
really tough
mm-hmm.
for somebody who's in the throes of anxiety
mm-hmm.
to be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
Any
yeah.
thoughts, any wisdom?
Yeah, so I have, you know, at different times felt anxiety. Now there's differences between situational anxiety where a situation comes up and yes, we worry, we have anxiety in the moment, but we deal with it. Yes, and that's good. And that's how we're made. And God created us that way so that we would react and we would do something about it because we realize things are off or there's difficulty. But then there's living in it and cooperating with it on a regular basis where that becomes part of our identity and a part of our thoughts. So what I often will recommend is out of scripture when we need to come before the Lord and worship and praise. That, you know, in times when I've felt anxiety, I don't feel like worship and praising. I feel like going over and over in my mind all the different thoughts and things that I'm thinking and worrying about. But to turn that worship music on as a self-discipline, the act of the will to go, I don't feel like it, but I'm going to turn it on. Mm-hmm. Because there's something so powerful about worshiping the Lord that it actually drives heaviness away because the enemy can't stand it. And it says to, you know, lift off the spirit of heaviness, right? And put on the garment of praise. And I will play that worship music until I can actually sing the words. Because there's so many times when I can't sing the words, maybe at the time. I'm not in that emotional frame of mind. I want to listen to some sad music. And I want to go
stay in here a little while longer.
I just want to, you know, it feels good to kind of die and be dark and sad. And I have to choose with my will to be self-disciplined. And I think that's something that our society is lacking, is that self-disciplining our emotions, to know we need to lead our heart. Our heart is not to lead us. The heart above all is deceitful, and who can trust it, right? And so the verse in the Bible, you know, when it says that Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted, I've done research into the Hebrew, and that word bind is to govern and rule. The brokenhearted, the places that are the deepest places of a man or woman that has been smashed to smithereens. So to govern and rule over our emotions. Mm-hmm. So I actually pray that every day. Nice. God, would you govern and rule over my emotions and my perspectives and bring them into alignment with how you feel about the situation and how you're thinking about the situation. That's huge.
It's huge.
Yeah, that's huge.
And his answers are profound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I don't trust my emotions. They change every hour about something, right? I can feel one thing one hour and it changes the next hour. So I don't want to live out of my emotion. It's too much of a roller coaster. And it will produce that anxiety.
Well, our emotions say that we love somebody one day and then the next day they do something that's not too cool in our perception. Suddenly we hate them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're right there. We can't trust our emotions. You say, I do at the altar, and then years later, you're saying, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go get a divorce. We can't trust our emotions. And we often talk about being emotionally led versus being spirit-led.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what you said earlier. I just want to back up and touch on it, that when I made the joke about when we're sliding off the road, anxiety is, you know, at an all-time high.
Yeah.
And you said, well, that's because we're to react.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said it, I wonder if we're being led to numb our reaction time when it comes to anxiety.
Mm.
Because more and more we see people not wanting to deal with it. I don't want to go there.
Mm.
I can't go there.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord says, no, you need to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say we can't go there, I don't want to go there, there's thoughts that need to be taken captive.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's when we don't want to do something, those are our feelings keeping us trapped.
Mm-hmm.
If we're to dissect which area of what we call domains is at play. And what you're saying is, no, we need to take a step back, take those thoughts captive, present them to the Lord on a daily basis, not just a daily basis, but if you're dealing with anxiety, it's a moment by moment. It's, Lord, I don't want to get through this day. I want to get through this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we get through that moment, praise God that I got through that moment. Now I need to get through the next moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so do you think it's more about we're losing the ability to react emotionally, but if we engage our mind, we learn how to overcome it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that we have valued things in our society that is to accept everything. Everything's good. Tolerance is awesome, right? So everything is to be kind of accepted as okay and not a big deal, right? To just accept whatever things happen, even and then you're right, we don't want to go face those things because it's very difficult. So whatever makes us feel bad or uncomfortable or fearful, that's wrong almost to feel those things. And you don't have to feel those things. That's what we're told. You don't have to feel those things. Right. And yet those are God-given feelings to say, there's something not right here.
Right.
There's something not right. Something's not right in your soul. Something's not right in your spirit. With how either an external situation or what's going on in the inside, and it needs to be dealt with in a godly way, and so it needs to be brought for Jesus to filter that through with you.
Mm-hmm. So anxiety is a good thing,
mm-hmm.
when it's dealt with,
mm-hmm.
in a godly manner, when, mm-hmm. you're allowing God to help deal with it. Anxiety is like that red flag that, mm-hmm. says, warning,
mm-hmm.
something's not right here.
Mm-hmm.
That you need to look at it. And it doesn't, I think, I don't know what you think about this, but I think that my opinion is people internalize their struggles,
mm-hmm.
such as anxiety. So if anxiety is wrong, I don't want to feel that I'm wrong, because it means that who I am as a person,
mm-hmm.
is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're not to go there. And I'm wondering if that's why people are, for generally speaking, unwilling to go there, mm-hmm. unwilling to deal with the things that are keeping them caught in that rat wheel,
mm-hmm.
of thoughts, that state of, that mindset of anxiety.
Mm-hmm. And we haven't been equipped on how to go there, how to go to those difficult places. And then what do we do once we're there?
So how do we go there?
Right. We have to, you know, when we go into prayer, we have to be willing to say, God, what is it that's actually at the root of this anxiety? Which we touched on, it often is fear. Mm-hmm. It's a trust issue,
yeah.
right, with God, yeah. between you and God, when you get right down to it and bluntly say it. And that's hard. We don't want to hear that.
About God.
Yes. Yeah. Is he God? Is he Lord? Can he be trusted? Will he, yeah. come through? If he does not come through the way that we wanted, is that okay?
Right.
I think I heard from Dr. Carolyn Leaf, where she said, when you wake up in the morning, just decide somebody is going to hurt you today, and decide I'm going to forgive them before I go to bed. Then you don't have to be caught off guard when all of a sudden you get hurt that day and worry about it and have anxiety about being with that person. And I was thinking about that when it comes to anxiety. Just decide when you wake up in the morning, things aren't going to go the way you wanted them to.
Not everything.
Right.
Yes.
And What does the Bible say? In this world,
you will have trouble.
You will have trouble. Why are we shocked when we do then? Yeah. Why are we like, why God? Why did you?
But
why
I'm
is
a
there?
Christian. I'm
right.
not supposed to have
why
trouble.
Did you allow this?
I can't share this,
yes.
because then people are going to wonder,
yeah.
or say, what kind of Christian are you? You've got this trouble in your
right.
life.
Yes. So we are going to have trouble. So we need to face it. We need to face it. These things, and go, all right, what is the Lord wanting me to do about it? How do I respond to it? And this might take prayer before the Lord. It will take maybe journaling before the Lord. It will take praying with others. Sometimes we keep it in the dark, and the more that we keep it to ourselves and in secret, the more the enemy can just blow it up in our minds. And, you know, when people talk about it, they're like, wow, I just feel so much better that I actually talked about it. Now that I talked about it,
It's not a big deal. Or I can handle it.
Mm-hmm. There's a problem solving, and that's why we need fellowship with one another. So that's an important thing. The rest of that verse says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is huge, because what do we talk about over and over? Mental health, mental health, mental health. And it's almost become, again, something that is a badge of honor. I'm just dealing with some mental health issues here, which then means you actually can't touch any of my problems, my fears, my worries, the roots of these things, because it's mental health. Right. And so then it almost excuses you from going down those. Now, there is mental health. I know that there's mental health. And that's
but they call it mental illness,
mm-hmm.
which when we've sat under Dr. Caroline Leaf's teaching, mm-hmm. she said that's the worst mm-hmm. thing you can call it, because it's not a disease, it's your experience.
Yes.
You're experiencing anxiety for a reason. It's not mm-hmm. because you're sick or there's something wrong with you.
Yes, she actually says the term mental mismanagement.
That's right.
Yes, she's like, we're mismanaging our mental health mm-hmm. because it's not like we're in a we're dealing with anything that hasn't happened in history. Everything that's ever gone on under the sun is happening to us.
Nothing
as well.
You're going to go through yes. that somebody else hasn't.
Yes. yes. So we have to rise up and go, man, out of everyone on this planet, we above all people serve the God of hope, the God who owns hope. So he has given and equipped us everything. Now, Satan, we know his authority was taken at the cross, mm-hmm. but he still has power. And he says that, you know, we know the scripture says that he has come to kill, steal, and destroy. He can't unless we allow him to. He wants to, and he will surely take up every opportunity. So when we begin to cooperate with things that he has come to destroy us, which anxiety has come to destroy us. Mm-hmm. It has just come to destroy our peace, our joy, and our mind, and our hearts.
Mm-hmm. And our relationships, and everything.
Everything. Yeah. So when it says there's that promise that this will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, mm-hmm. then we better sit up and look at it, because we all want sound minds. Mm-hmm. That even causes anxiety among people. What happens if I go crazy, you know? And so if we want this, then we have to be willing to be self-disciplined enough yeah. to go after the things that we want. Otherwise, we leave the disciplining up to God, and we start to have to go through things over and over and over till we learn the lesson. And if we refuse to learn it, then we have to keep going through these things, right? So we have to look at these things and go and be different. Be yes. different. Yeah.
And I love how he brings about the peace, mm-hmm. and the peace of Christ will be with you. If you read back in Old Testament, after every battle, mm-hmm. what did God bring? Mm-hmm. He brought peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it tells us we can rightfully say that anxiety is a battle.
Mm-hmm.
And you said at the beginning, you alluded to the battle, right? There's not a, sometimes we don't have the energy mm-hmm. to battle anxiety. Sometimes mm-hmm. we don't have the energy to deal with it. But we've got all the energy in the world to veg mm-hmm. and to binge watch.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the peace. And so we can test him in those things. We mm-hmm. can test him. We can trust him with our anxiety. We can trust him to get us to the root of our anxiety. And then we are right to expect peace mm-hmm. after the battle.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it might not be you yourself that is dealing with anxiety. Maybe there's people in your life and you're like, man, I don't know what to do with them. I just keep trying to encourage them. I'm just, you know, trying to take them for a walk once in a while or pray, you know, for them at home by myself. But we as Christians carry the presence of the Almighty God.
That's right.
And so when we carry God's presence, if you are not struggling with anxiety and you've overcome that in your life, and then you now have such impact and power to speak into people. So when they're telling you that they have anxiety and why, look for the root, look mm-hmm. for the lie, look for what's going on, and then speak truth. Mm-hmm. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do you see about them? Mm-hmm. And then speak it over them. And what this does is it's changing what they have been thinking, and it's changing their thoughts about who they are and about their situation. And we need to be going around this world and speaking life.
That's right.
Speaking life, bringing the kingdom mm-hmm. of heaven to earth, to this dark world, right? And we need to be penetrating with our words. We've been given a tongue, and we know our words hold power of life and death.
Yes,
so we need to rise up as well and engage and dispel this anxiety that's going on in our culture mm-hmm. by speaking truth in life, revealing these things to people.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Thank you, Val.
Yeah, thank
this
you.
This is great. We will have Val back more often, hopefully.
Yeah, sounds good.
for awesome God-given wisdom.